I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday, hour number one in the books. It's time for hour number two, but we want to start this off by getting out to the phone line and welcoming a former BYU athlete and current BYU TV and KSL football analyst. He is David Nixon. And David, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. How's it going?
It's going well. It's been an emotional first hour as we were lamenting BYU's position in the college football playoff rankings at 14. I guess I'll start there, David. Where do you think BYU should have been, and what was maybe one point of them being ranked 14th that really upset you?
You know, I think they are a top 10 team. And I think everyone in the whole country agrees with me on that one. But, you know, they came in at 14th. I'm an optimist in this scenario where I think BYU will find their way still up to the rankings. I personally think the college football committee realized that they screwed this one up. And I think they're realizing they're going to have to try to justify a way to bump BYU up. I think you'll see BYU jump a couple spots this week is my take. But who knows? I mean, nobody knows, right? It would be nice to see teams like Indiana lose and in front of BYU. Iowa State, obviously, they won. So we're not getting a lot of help from teams in front of us. But, you know, you look at what everyone nationally is saying. Everyone just is up in arms, including all the national guys. So I don't know. We'll see what happens here. But not where you want to come in as a BYU fan. But Reese Davis mentioned this morning he thinks BYU still has a good shot at getting into a New Year's Six. And I would agree with him. I think, you know, you just have to pump the brakes a little bit, calm down. And these next few weeks will play itself out. BYU obviously still has San Diego State, and we'll see what happens with future scheduling. But, you know, there's going to be some teams beating each other up in front of BYU, and I think they'll benefit from that and jump a couple more spots. And I think they'll finish in the top 10, is my guess.
David Nixon's our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday. And David, you know, this BYU team has been so fun to watch this year. You know, what do you think is the – just, you know, what is the strength you feel of this team? What makes them as successful as they've been this year?
I think if you were to try to find one thing about this team, it's experience. And keep in mind, this is a team that there were a lot of freshmen that had to start, including Zach Wilson, including half the offensive line. A lot of the defensive players were young pups. I mean, Troy Warner was a freshman starting. So finally you had this team where you had all this experience, and Kalani knew this, right? I mean, we took our lumps early in Kalani's career knowing that he was trying to groom his guys. He was trying to get his own recruits in, and they were going to go through some growing pains, and BYU did. And it's unfortunate because Kalani knew going into this year this was his team. This was the year they were going to make a run and make some noise, and sure enough, they have. But a lot of it's due to the experience and guys that have been starting since freshmen. And so it really is unfortunate. I feel like it's just that's how it is being a BYU fan, right? I mean, BYU's basketball team this year, one of the best basketball teams they've had in a decade, and sure enough, the whole tournament gets canceled on them. And it's the same thing with football. Football, Kalani's been grooming this team. He knew going this year he had a veteran offensive line, veteran defensive line, a great, probably one of the best secondaries BYU's had in the last couple decades. And sure enough, you come up and you get hit with COVID. So it's been a tough break for Kalani and as his fans. But I think you point to experience, and it shows with Zach Wilson, his decision-making this year. And you look at his touchdown-interception ratio. I think he's now up to, 26 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, something like that. I mean, just goes to show he's just making so much better decisions on the field. And then, of course, the receiving core. How about this receiving core? The fact that these guys just don't drop balls. I mean, they're where they're supposed to be. They run great routes. I think you go through every position group and you realize that they're just playing fantastic football. And a lot of the credit goes to the coaching staff. And this is a coaching staff that took a lot of heat, just a few years ago when BYU had a losing record, even last year when they didn't live up to expectations. But the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit during this crazy year of COVID of having the guys ready week in and week out.
We want to switch gears a little bit now and talk Taysom Hill, his first career start and win as a starting quarterback in New Orleans last week. And I think it was such an exciting moment for BYU fans, not only to have a BYU quarterback starting and winning again, but the road that Taysom Hill took to get to that point. And then, you know, there's so many naysayers throughout the year saying he's a gadget guy, he's never going to get a shot, and he gets his shot and plays well. What was, because you were there, you were at the game, what was the most impressive part of his performance to you being at the game?
You know, I think it was just the fact that he hung in the pocket. I think a lot of people look at Taysom as this runner, right? I mean, the second he doesn't get his first read and the pocket breaks down, he's going to get out and just try to run for it. But you saw kind of the opposite from Taysom in this game. He sat in there. He took a couple hits, but he delivered some great deep balls. He wasn't just checking down every time. He was looking for the big shot, and he hit it a couple times. In fact, the one touchdown to Miles Sanders got called back was unfortunate because of holding. But I love about Taysom is he sat in there, he went through his progressions, he went through his reads, and he made the right reads. And his poise and his confidence, I mean, I talked to him after the game, and he said, listen, I don't think I've ever been more prepared for a game in my life. And a lot of that's because of who he's learning underneath, the Drew Brees. And these guys, Taysom and Drew, are the first ones in and the last ones out in that facility. And it showed. I mean, he was prepared for the game, and it was fun to watch him go put up the numbers he did. And it was fun to see the excitement from him, and then, of course, the relief after the game. You could tell that he was a little relieved because, obviously, it was his first start as well. So, I think he was a little stressed in that sense. But he went out there, performed well. It was a lot of fun to watch as myself and my four brothers and my dad, and we were in the box with my sister and Taysom's parents. And it was just us in that box. And it was just, I think it was a relief for all of us, but it was fun to see him out there playing again and at the quarterback position and excelling at it. I think he played obviously super well. And so now we're all anxious to see how tomorrow goes.
And Dave, you know, I don't know if you got the chance to talk to Taysom much when he found out that he was going to be the starter, but what was that experience like for Taysom or the in your family to hear that he was going to be that starter for the Saints and be the number one guy?
Well, yeah, it was pretty funny because we all found out Monday. That's when the coaching staff called him and let him know that it was his week. And frankly, we've kind of known that this whole time. So the plan has always been that if Drew got hurt during the game, that Jameis would come in because they both have similar game plan. I mean, it's a similar type of skill set. But if Drew was hurt, you know, and they had enough time to prepare for the week, then Taysom would be the starter. And so we figured that he'd be the starter this week, but he got the official call on Monday. And so we knew it was a family, but it was kind of funny watching ESPN and all over social media that everyone kept thinking it was Jameis. But in the meantime, Taysom was still getting those number one reps. And then, of course, the news came out Friday. I think it was Thursday or Friday that he was going to be the starter. And by that time, we'd already booked our flights and we're ready to go. But, we were excited, but he was excited as well. And I know he was a little bit stressed out as well. But this is a moment that he's kind of lived for, he's prepared for. I mean, you think about it, he's been there for this fourth year now, and he's in all those quarterback meetings with Drew, and he watches how he prepares, and he prepared the same way. And like I said, it paid off. I think that was the biggest thing. And what I love most about the whole relationship between him and Drew is you've probably seen the post-game comments from Drew Brees where Drew couldn't have been a bigger fan of Taysom, right? And he was so excited to watch him go out there and excel and do the things he did. So it's kind of fun to see the whole team rally around him. And And Taysom said that after the game, offense, defense, everyone was going up to him congratulating him. It was kind of fun to see the whole team rally around him during the week of preparation and, of course, during the game, and realize that, hey, you're our guy. You're our guy for these next now two, maybe three games. And you know, that's what you do in football, next man up.
We know that.
Yeah, sometimes
go ahead, Mitch.
Oh, sometimes it's a cliche that, you know, on social media, retweet doesn't equal endorsement. I remember when he's tweeted out, you know, hey, Sean Payton's been seeing this guy in practice for three or four years. It's safe to say that he's going to be the starting quarterback. I always thought that was funny on the local New Orleans, you know, media was like kind of surprised that Taysom was the number one guy. And I'm thinking, Sean Payton has seen this man operate every single day behind the scenes. He knew what he was doing.
Well, and that's what was kind of baffling to me as well. You look at the depth chart, and Taysom was number two on the depth chart this whole season. You look at what they paid Taysom this offseason, $21 million compared to $1 million for Jameis. And so the numbers and everything was pretty obvious to me. And, of course, once again, we kind of knew the backstory of the fact that, like I've explained earlier, where if Drew went down, they had a whole week of preparation, Taysom would be the guy. But I think everyone was just basically basing off the fact that Jameis came in for Drew when Drew went down in the game. And they thought, okay, well, he must be the star this week. But, yeah, we just kind of all sat back and just laughed and kept scratching our heads. I mean, as more and more national guys kept saying, oh, we can't wait to see Jameis, and we just were all kind of laughing, saying, yeah, well, we can't really – we can't wait to see Taysom. So it worked out in the long run. And here's the thing. Jameis – I talked to Taysom about this. Jameis was really supportive of him and came up to him and was, you know, just ride around him as well. So – credit to the whole team for realizing Taysom was the guy, and coaching staff putting a great game plan in, and then Taysom for going out there executing it, and the players as well.
David Nixon is our guest for one more moment here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Last thing for you. How important do you think these next two, three, whatever games it is that Drew Brees is out, how important is it for Taysom in terms of, because we know he wants to be the guy after Drew Brees, how important is this little stretch for him kind of impressing on the coaching staff that he can be the next guy after Drew?
Well, it's huge. It's his audition. I mean, this is what will determine if he gets a big contract this offseason or not. He's in a 2-year deal, but there's been talks of re-upping him this next offseason. So we'll see. And listen, everyone knows it. The whole locker room knows it. The head coach knows it. The GM knows it. Taysom knows it. And so now it's time to go out there and perform. And that's what you live for as an athlete. Excuse me. You live for these moments, and that's why you prepare for these moments. And this is stuff you dream of a kid, to be the starting quarterback in the NFL. So, like I said, it was nice to have that game underneath Taysom's belt, to where now this week he can go out there a little more relaxed, knowing that he can go out there, perform, and get a W. But he's facing a much tougher defense in Denver. I think they're the 12th or 13th ranked defense in the NFL. So much tougher than what he saw against Atlanta. But then he'll face Atlanta again the week after. So there's still some football to be played. And I know that, once again, this determines whether they have enough confidence in him to be their guy moving forward. So everyone knows it, and now you got to go out there and walk the walk and, you know, do your thing.
You can follow him on Twitter at @D_Nixon. He is former BYU linebacker and current BYU TV analyst David Nixon. Check him out on After Further Review on Tuesday nights. David, we always appreciate the time. You're great at what you do, and looking forward to more BYU football and Taysom talk down the road, man.
Will do. Appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
That's David Nixon here on Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. Taking a break on the other side. We'll talk more about Taysom Hill on the other side. This is Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.